From Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
We'll be with tonight's guest, filmmaker, author, and mommy, Betsy Chassie.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And musical guest, Whitney Meyer. I am Mark Legere, and now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
I know, Mark, why your voice is breaking up, because we spent all weekend in San Diego with the What If people having a great time, literally asking questions and then trying to solve the, trying to come up with answers at this conference that was held at La Valencia in La Jolla in San Diego, and with Matt Murray and just this whole team of people that came from all over to see if we can't. Well, it's a conference that's doing this now, and it's going to be in Los Angeles next month, and it's going to be in Vancouver the month after that. But to see if we can ask questions that then get people to have a conversation and come up with answers that nobody's either ever thought about, or to see where we have consensus.
To ask questions that inspire solutions.
Ah, well, that's one way of saying that's like kind of easy, but kind of short and to the point. But so it's interesting. So it was great. And we're going to be part of it when it comes to Los Angeles. We'll let you know more about that. But so one of the things that I thought was most fascinating was that a topic on women came up. And so somebody posed a question, and it doesn't really matter what the question was. What matters is the discussion group afterward. There were actually three questions asked, and then groups got together and discussed. During those moments of discussion, we usually talked about the three questions that were asked. During the time where one of the three questions was about women, that seemed to take over the conversation at the table. And I thought, wow, this is kind of interesting. And sure, there were three or four women. It was about half and half, women and men. But the women just like, it was, they were really on it and they really wanted to talk about this. And I thought, you go. This was so great. And a couple times I was the one that tried to bring in something else of like, well, somebody else actually brought up this question. Yeah, but the woman thing, and then it was right back there. The reason I bring this up today is because one of the women was 8 months pregnant, and she was at the table, and she said, see, the thing is who's writing the manual for us about how to be women today? Because there used to be manuals in corporations and that some of the women were complaining about. We've been told how to dress. We've been told this and that. And this woman was saying, there should be a manual. And then she looked at me, maybe because I had just finished talking before she said that. And I said, I think that manual should be written by you. I think this is where we're headed. Because I myself can't write it because I'm not a woman and I've never had a baby. And the girl, a young lady sitting next to me, she said she never wants to be a mother. And already there's a big difference between this woman who already had a child and now is going to have another one. There's a big difference in what she knows and what this young lady will know in her lifetime. And she even said, I don't have that motherly instinct. Whatever that means to her, she doesn't have it. So she has no right to write the manual for this woman. And I certainly have no right. And as we're growing, I think we're growing more together. And yet at the same time, we're also growing more individual. And so I want to see that manual written by that woman. I want to see the other woman write a manual as it what means to her. And I don't think anybody has a right to write a manual for anybody else in this day and age. Betsy, our guest Betsy, is shaking her head. I can't wait to bring her into this conversation. I shouldn't even be talking without her talking. Look, she had to cover her mouth because she had to interject something, and I love that about her. There's something else I love about her, actually, while we're on that subject, is I've known of Betsy for a while. And many of you have too, mainly because of the movie, What the Bleep Do We Know? And the funny thing is she's brought We're Facebook friends, and we also knew each other because when she did these other movies or was helping out with these other movies, she contacted us at Life Changes and said, hey, can you have a screening? Hey, can we do this together? There was always something that we were touching base on, and hey, can you have this person on as a guest on your show? And we're like, we want you on the show. And it's like, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Well, it finally happened. But the whole thing is that if you want to talk, I don't like these words, but new age, spirituality. I mean, if you want to talk that stuff, she knows more about that than a lot of people I know. And yet she doesn't really talk about that. She doesn't go around saying, I'm more spiritual than you. You should listen to me. I did this movie. You should listen to me. It's like everything I read that she's doing and all that stuff is just like, here's the information, you know, take what you can. And so I'm thinking, okay, we need a manual written by this woman over here. I'm going to stop talking so we can start the manual when we come back right after this on Life Changes.
True performance takes more than just working out. Every day we demand more from our body. But what does your body demand? Hunger is not your body's call for empty calories. It's your body asking for nutrients it's lacking. It's time to reward your body with Boku Superfood, made from the world's finest organic ingredients, vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and essential trace nutrients, all developed naturally and organically from nature's most nutrient-dense foods. Boku Superfood is quite possibly the best thing you can feed your body. So listen to your body. Reward it with pure, raw, beautiful food. Boku Superfood.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sharon Stone, and Alex Gray on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. Or you can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
You know, we're back. And Mark, come to think of it, today we have two women on the show and two women who are putting themselves out there and putting their ideas out there. Let's just wait till people hear what Whitney Meyer is going to be singing about.
Well, I mean, the talent that we have on the show is fantastic. We've been a big fan of Betsy for some time. And having gotten to know Whitney's music, I'm so thrilled that she's here. We don't have enough time for this conversation. You were talking about how she doesn't wear the spirituality on the sleeve, yet underneath that, in this bright and energetic personality, there's so much wisdom that comes through on all her projects. And so you said she's putting the information out there, but she really is.
She's also living it.
Yeah. That was my point. She's bringing it forward not only in all of her projects, but in the way she lives her life.
Okay, you know, we can't do this, Jerry. We just got to let her into the conversation. She's like, come on.
No, don't stop. Really, more. I just like it. Like, I'm being spoken about in third person. I'll just sit back here.
Like, she's not in the room, but she is in the room in a big way. She is internationally known as a filmmaker, an author, a TV host, too, I could add, and a mommy. She was the co-writer, director, and producer of What the Bleep Do We Know. When people say, I made a movie, you know, what did they do? Well, hello, she did all of that. And she's done so much more since. Song of the New Earth, which was a movie that she produced that came out in 2014, that actually made our top 10 list of films that could change the world.
Yay!
And so thank you for doing what you did, and we were happy to do what we did with that. Mm-hmm. And that came out at the Seattle International Film Festival just last year. She's authored 4 books. What the Bleep Do We Know is actually one of them. And today we're going to be talking about hopefully 2 more. And she's doing at least 3 documentaries, a TV show. I don't know how she does it, but here she is, and no wonder it's been hard getting you on the show.
I have a uterus.
Betsy Jassy, welcome to the show.
That's how I do it. I have a uterus. That's exactly it. There's the manual, ladies, in case you're wondering. Use your uterus wisely. Create with it.
Connect with it.
That's what women do. We're creators of hello. I mean, come on. I'm a mom because I gave birth to babies, but I'm also a mom because I, you know, give birth to creative ideas. And, you know, men have the same kind of, you know, creativity. It's just a little different. But women We can do all those things because we have uteruses.
It's just a lot different. And we're not going to talk about just exactly how different. But let's
But I mean, you know, it's an interesting thing. Like, my daughter's 11, and she starts asking me about bodies and stuff and men and women. And she literally said to me the other day, like, Mom, why are men so afraid of women, my 11-year-old? She's like, I swear to God, I get all my wisdom from my kid. And she said, why are men so afraid of women? And I looked at her and I said, it's because we have a uterus.
It's the catch-all.
And, but it's true. And I, you know, it was an interesting conversation about women and creativity and how we have this ability to connect with the earth and to hear and listen to what's needed and then to birth it out. So
Thanksgiving meals must be very interesting.
They are. Yeah. You know, we have some fun conversations at my house.
I have a play I'd love to see you write. It's called the Uterus Dialogue.
You know, I think that women, you were telling that story, and I just wanted to say, you know, the manual for men and women, I think now, is be you, baby.
Mm.
Just be you. There is no right or wrong anymore, and I think we're really coming to that place where somebody, I did another interview today, and somebody said to me, well, what makes you an innovative woman? And I said, well, what makes me innovative is that I'm unapologetic for who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And we've spent a lot of time, men and women, apologizing for who we are.
Mm.
And I'm no longer willing to
for
do that.
For being, even.
For being. We're sinners the second we're born. We're screwed. It's like, Jesus, you know? I mean, I'm tired of that story. I'm tired of apologizing for everything that I am. You know, people said, you know, you're blunt and you're direct. Yes, exactly, I am. I'm sorry if you don't like that. You know, I just kind of hit the space where I just said, you know, if you operate with integrity and you operate from a place of love. And people have a definition. All the New Age people have this definition of love as of some warm, ooey-gooey, you know, milk toast. Love can be rough and tough and straightforward, I think. Mm. And for me, it is. You know, it's like I'm a no kind of person. And I say what I think. And I'm also willing for you to say what you, I mean, you're fully free to go, hey, excuse my mouth. I have a potty mouth. And I apologize, but not really. But you just have to be... You know, you have to get over that stuff. I say to people when I go to talks, I'm doing a big series of talks at CSLs this summer, Center for Spiritual Livings.
Right.
And what I say in the beginning is I'm like, I cuss, and really I think you need to examine why that offends you. Because it's not my problem. It's a word. And so I think we've got to stop apologizing. So I think that's what...
This was the beauty of, you know, it wasn't just a movie, What the Bleep. I mean, you really sparked the awakening that now is you know, turning into a tsunami. But the inner awakening of people really taking a look at what their beliefs are and what they really know, what they have access to, and why aren't they asking questions, and you know.
Well, and we did it in a really irreverent way. I mean, that was my fun of making The Bleep. I mean, I had a Busby Berkeley dance number in the middle of that movie. And I am a huge... Busby Berkeley is almost every movie that I make, but because we got to have fun, and we need to laugh, and we need to lighten up a little bit.
It's even in the title, What the Bleep.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if that didn't get bleeped up, what was the word that would have...
It was, I don't even know if I can say it. Can I say it on your radio show? I have no problem.
He throws it out to everyone.
Okay. What the f*** do we know? And you know where that came from?
Where did that come from?
Because what happened was when I got hired to make The Bleep, they were making another movie called Sacred Science.
Oh, I heard about this.
And so they're making this movie called Sacred Science. And Will, who I adore and love, is, you know, he says, I have this thing about expectation, especially when you get on a project what I was originally hired as just a line producer. You know, I was basically hired to technically produce this movie that they had written. And I said to Will, well, what's your expectation? And he said, I want 100 million people to see this movie. And I said, well, like, Discovery Channel's not even going to buy the movie that you've gotten here. And he said, well, what would you do? And I said, oh, okay. And that's how I became a writer, director, producer. And so it was interesting because there's three filmmakers. There's Mark, Will, and Betsy. So Will is the scientist. He has a degree in physics, super smart, way quantum physics dude. So he would do an interview from that perspective.
Right.
Mark, Mr. Metaphysics. Mr. New Age, you know, woo-woo up, you know, we love him. I used to call him Mr. Woo-woo, right? All the time. And then I sit there in a room with Fred Allen Wolf and, you know, all the Amaka Swami and all these people, and I'd go, I'm sorry, but what the hell does this have to do with me? Why do I care about any of this? Please explain it to me, because I just want to go buy shoes. And so that's where I came from. What
nice
the bleep
shoes,
do
by
I?
The way,
I love shoes. Listen, It's shoes or there's nothing wrong with loving shoes. But that's my question. So the joke I used to say, what do I know? But what are you guys talking about? And so they jokingly, one day jokingly, Will made a big banner and he put on the wall, Betsy wants to know what the does she know? And so we just sort of like that it was this banner that we had on the wall of our office. And so finally, one day we were coming up with a title and I said, Will, we cannot call this movie Sacred Science. That just, you know, vomit. And he's like, what should we call it? And I said, I think we should call it What the Bleep Do We Know? And there it went.
Bam.
Now you know the rest of the story. Well, I know we weren't going to talk about too much about What the Bleep, but we're big fans and of you, first Aww. Off. And now we know the rest of the story about that. And when we come back, we're going to talk about, oh gosh, we can choose so many things. The new coaching movie, the Tipping Sacred Cows, your book. I mean, again, that's a little bit irreverent.
I like to make fun titles.
Here's a title of a book, of Betsy's book coming out. I should let you say this, the one about it came out.
Okay, so I'm going to write a parenting book, a conscious parenting book, where we'll never talk about consciousness or spirituality, but it'll all be there, and it's called It Came Out of My Vagina,
okay,
Now What?
Stop there. So when we come back, we're going to talk about what came out of Betsy's vagina and what she's going to do with it. There's Wake Up, there's Gotta Go In to Get Out. She's had an interesting life, and you don't even know the half of it. You'll hear more when we come back with our guest, Betsy Chase, and a little later on, the music of Whitney Meyer right after this.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen. And the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up. A second grader named Chandler said, I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life. And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, this is a great story. Bravo, Shadow. The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino on our archive page at lifechangesnetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. To say we're having a lively conversation would be an understatement with our guest, Betsy Chassie. And a little later on, we're going to have music by Whitney Meyer. Whitney is one of the contestants and a contender on The Voice 2012. That was very exciting when she got all four chairs to turn around and then went on for another couple rounds. So we'll get to talk to her in a little bit. In the meantime, Betsy, let's talk about your vagina.
Already on your radio show. I love it. Got it.
And I'm not going to even say what you said during the break.
I know. We should be free. Everyone should at least 10 times a day. That's my spiritual practice. People always ask me, what's my spiritual practice? And I say, I stop, breathe, and say 10 times a day.
Wow.
It's really awesome, actually.
And here you are. I mean, look at you. You get to do a lot with that.
You can. It's really freeing, actually. I think we're we come from a Puritan background, right? We're like afraid of our bodies. We're afraid to piss somebody off. We're all very PC. If you say the wrong thing, you offend somebody. So we're very constricted. And that stuff goes on in our head, too. I mean, talk about fear and doubt, like having a field day in your brain, you know, thought monsters galore. If I say this, I'm going to upset this person. If I say that, I'm going to. And so we live in that world. So just the ability to like stop. I mean, it's just this freeing thing.
There goes our parental rating.
You know, they need to get over that. I mean, the bleep got an R rating.
It did, because of the word?
Yes.
Or because of the non-word?
Because we had one shot that seemed like it was, there was sex. No, there didn't seem, there was sex. Oh. And it was a naked butt of a guy. And they gave us an R rating. And then like other movies that you watch and you're like, I show them to my kids and I'm like, what the heck? What? This has got a PG rating?
There's so commercials that deserve to be R.
I know. So we're just completely whacked. I've just decided to skip it all and just do what I want.
Wow. And there you go. You found freedom.
Well, that's what Gotta Go In to Go Out is about.
Right.
Gotta Go In to Get Out anyway. It's about really asking the question, what is freedom? I mean, think about it. We're all super excited. We all just made our little Facebook pages, our little Facebook avatars all rainbowy because we're all excited because the government has now told us it's okay to marry who you want.
Mm.
Wait a minute. Mm. Let me just get something clear. The government is now telling me that it's okay to marry who I want. Is that not back-ass words or what? Like, somehow that just makes no sense to me that we live in a society where we're looking to a government to tell me who I can love. Mm-hmm. And now we're all happy about it. It's crazy.
But how do you feel about it?
I think that we should just... I think that, you know, there's a... I stole this saying from somebody else... a farm or something. I can't even remember where. I feel bad. I can't give him credit. But I say stop bitching and start a revolution. And the revolution starts within you. Start being who you are. Start being and living from your heart and your soul. And don't be an ass. Like, there's a difference. Don't mm-hmm. be a jerk. There's mm-hmm. a difference between living your heart and being who you are and being a jerk. But live with integrity. Find a passion and live it passionately and do it. And, you know, government and everybody else.
You know, it's interesting when people say, well, I'm different. Well, there's a difference between being different just to be different, and then there's a difference being different because it's you.
Well, that's the thing. We don't even know how to figure out who we are anymore. I mean, that's what my book, Tipping Sacred Cows, was all about, was that I got divorced. And, you know, I made the bleep, for God's sake. All of a sudden, this is the thing. Like, I always giggle that somehow, you know, people, we have this tendency to prop people up as, like, knowing stuff. Mm. I made a movie where I interviewed a bunch of cool people. And all of a sudden, I'm opening for Deepak. Like, I'm supposed to be some sort of spiritual know-it-all, right?
If you were an actor and became famous, you'd know even more.
Right. So somehow I'm being traipsed around the world. And for a while, I bought into that. I kind of have to say I dug it. I liked flying first class and being paid a bunch of money to open for Deepak and to talk in rooms full of thousands of people to tell them how to be enlightened. And then there was a part of me that was like, this is total bullshit. And then my life came completely falling apart. And it was the greatest thing that ever happened to me. Because in that moment of just looking around, no money, divorce, not knowing how I was going to support myself and two kids, I went, wow, I don't have to live the story anymore.
Mm.
I don't have to live the program that we're bombarding into our people with television ads and commercials. And then look, my kids, you know, they have iPads, they watch television. I'm not going to say that they don't. That's a lie. But I finally went, wow, I don't have to live the program anymore. I failed the test. Clearly, I'm suck at marriage. I've been married twice. I failed it twice. I'm divorced. I lost the picket fence. The BMW is gone. Like, I had it all and it went away. And now I feel freer to go, okay, guess what? What is it? We're checking out of the matrix.
Not to mention names, and we're not going to, but some of the people you might have been opening for, their life might be even more than.
Well, you know, I think it's interesting because when you get to see behind the curtain,
right?
you get to real. I had a conversation yesterday with a filmmaker who came to me to ask for help on a film that she's putting together. And she's such a sweet girl, right? But she lives in this fantasy world that the people that are writing these books somehow are enlightened masters who walk on air.
Right.
And I was trying to explain to her, no, you know, they get angry. They feel, they live. Buddha felt, you know, Buddha got angry. Buddha got happy. Buddha, you know, and she said, no, I think he's always zen. I'm like, I'm telling you right now, I've been in the room with the dude. The dude is not always zen. Trust me. But we have to let go of that. That's another part of my book. I mean, my book, Tipping Sacred Cows, has two types of sacred cows. One, your own belief systems. What do you hold up against criticism in yourself as a belief? What are you living that is a belief system that's not serving you? And the second one is the beautiful, wonderful sacred cows of the New Age New Thought movement. I take on the law of attraction. I take bleep, even bleep, and the secret to task.
Really?
I take the whole idea of these concepts and ideas that we pop up as if they're some sort of prize. Like, here, follow this path and you'll get enlightenment and $9.99, you know, and it's like stupid. What does enlightenment even mean? And do I even really want it? And so I really break down the etymology of what enlightenment means. And I go after these concepts and I go, what do they really mean to me? Not like, you know, am I just going to go to a law of attraction seminar and then hang out and make my vision board and have it not, you know, because everybody else is doing it. What does it really mean? They're looking at me like, what the
I'm looking at you because off the air I've said some things and I can't believe you're saying it on the air.
I don't but care anymore. Jesus. I have a friend. She says to me, she's got this vision board. Okay, my friend is 5'7". She's a big girl. She's never going to be a skinny girl. It's just not her body type, right? Mm-hmm. She makes this vision board of all these skinny girls. Mm-hmm. And I said to her, I said, honey, why do you want to look like that? What does that mean to you? And she goes, it means I'll be loved.
Right.
And I thought, you know what? This is the problem with the secret and even the bleep, because the bleep oversimplified, because you know what? That's why we wrote the book. I recommend everybody read the good book, because the bleep is 96 minutes. How do you take the idea of how your thoughts affect reality in 96 minutes? I think we did a pretty good job of it, but it's very oversimplified. Mm. And we sort of glorified quantum physics a little too much, mm. I think. Now there's a friggin' quantum watches, quantum, you know, everything. There's a quantum for everything.
Quantum it's all your fault.
It is. Quantum physics is the study of the nature of reality. It's not a religion, it's not a philosophy, and it's not a reason to stop taking your meds. Okay, it's called the study of the nature of reality. But we've made it a religion because that's what we want, because we're so desperate for answers. But this girl is sitting there with this vision board of skinny chicks, which she's never going to be.
Right.
Because she's read all these books, and if you make a vision board and you sit in your house and you meditate on it, it'll all happen. Right. And it's like, well, there's a part in there. It's middle part. It's called do the work. And I think we kind of need to do that a little more.
You know, this came up over the weekend in the workshop we were talking about, because, you know, people get on this path and this path of awakening, and yet they're still in their very, I want more stuff for me mode. And then mm-hmm. they're trying to apply these new spiritual principles mm-hmm. to what's going to make me. And so they're feeding the me. And there's this whole disconnect between who they really
and
are.
And they don't even know that they're not even they're feeding the me. They're feeding the story.
Right. That's what I mean by the me, the story, as opposed to, you know, where they're really supposed to be and then getting through that. And so then they're like, well, it doesn't work because they're
right,
actually
right, because then they feel
the
like
wrong.
A failure because they'll never be skinny because that's not what their body type
they're
is.
They're not, encouraging themselves to be more.
Right. They're not encouraging themselves to get connected with, you know, what we really want. Like,
Who we really are.
Like, my beloved is out there who I adore. He can hear me. I don't know if he can hear me or not, but
He can hear you.
We have
Hi,
this
Michael.
Conversation,
Brian. I'm sorry.
But his middle name is Michael, so you're close.
Yeah, I know. I keep doing that.
You know, we have this conversation a lot because we have very different dreams and very different approaches to dreams. And it's sometimes really hard for us to be together because I'm clearly an overachiever. I mean, I have like books and movies. And he's very zen and very mellow. Mm-hmm. And that's who he is. And this is who I am. And it doesn't make him bad or less than. It just makes him him. And it makes me me. And we live in this society where we are like addicted to the should. And we're addicted to, well, if I don't do this, then I won't be enough. If I don't do this, then nobody will love me. If I don't do this... And that's what I was saying earlier, but I'm unapologetic about who I am, because if we, and that's how I'm raising my kids. They, you know what? This is who you are. I mean, my daughter was 3 years old. I was trying to get her to clean up her toys. I'm like, clean up, everybody do this. You know that song, right? You have kids, you know. And she looks at me, and I freaking kid you not, she looks at me and she goes, ugh, I can hardly wait till I'm older and I can pay someone to do this. And
really?
Yeah. And this is my 3-year-old.
Where did she get this
idea? I don't know, but I realized, okay. Now, I had this story about my spiritual little being who was going to be like this whole different person. My daughter looks me in the eye and goes, I want to be rich. And I said, really, what does that mean to you? And you know what? We've had really interesting conversations. It's not this like, and then I thought to myself, well, why am I telling her what's bad to be rich? She wants to be rich. That's what her dream is. So I'm not going to sit there and go, oh, well, that's very selfish and very mean, because she's not selfish, because she's loving and caring. I mean, this is the girl that literally saved this, the leaf bug that was in our house today. I mean, she's got such great heart, but she also has this big dream. And so we, from when we're little, all of a sudden people are telling me, well, that's very bad to be rich. It's not nice to be rich. That's very selfish. And I thought, no. Chick wants to be rich. You go, girlfriend. You be rich. If that's what your dream is, follow your heart. She doesn't know that it's wrong. She hasn't learned judgment about these things. And so have a choice. Do I push all the judgment on her? And then what happens to us? We get 40 years old and we go crazy because we never really lived our dream. And if her dream is to live in a castle that's got 47 stories and has a swimming pool, and that's what her dream is right now, then I'm just going to love that. Because when she's 11, it's pure. Do you know, does that make sense what I'm trying to say? It's like, that's what we have. That's conscious parenting to me. Is like, why sit there and tell her that it's bad? Why program her money is bad?
Well, and that's why the patterns repeat, right? Because the parents immediately translate those dreams and think they know where they're coming from because it's their own filter, their own fears, their own experiences.
Exactly. Because I've been told, listen, one of the reasons I realized I've had a very interesting relationship with money this lifetime. From the time I was 9 years old, I was a millionaire.
What?
Yeah, I made 120 national commercials. I did McDonald's, Coca-Cola, major. I was the Mattel Barbie girl for 3 years straight. I made boatloads of money as a child. And then it's gone. And then, again, when I got into my 20s, I had an excellent career as a line producer. I made $200,000 to $300,000 a year. Easy peasy. And what I realized was that I got caught in a pattern of money is bad.
Mm.
You're a bad person if you have money. Mm. So that was my story. And part of it
because you come from really humble.
Very humble beginnings.
Yeah.
So I realized when my daughter sits here and tells me, I want to have a mansion and I want to have a Maserati, instead of making her feel guilty and shitty about her dream, I want to say to her, that is awesome. Can I have one too? Yeah, mommy, I will totally buy you one. That's great. That's conscious parenting. That's what most of us didn't have, which is why we're all living the life that we're living, which is we live in fear and doubt and we carry around a belief system that says we're not good enough or worthy of it.
Okay, so here's another movie I think you should do, What the Bleep Happened to Us. Anyway,
I got on a rant. I totally got on a rant with you just now. Thank you so much. I'm sorry.
Did it feel good?
It totally did, because it's what I'm thinking about. It's my passionate about in my head.
That's why you're here, and we're so happy that you are. Stay with us, and
just because
it's just it's comfortable. The seats are comfortable. It's like we're having a conversation, and we
create a welcoming environment.
You go, very welcoming. We are like that. So welcome. Feel free. You got one more segment where you can let loose when we come back with this. Don't apologize.
No, I won't.
When we come back with our guest, Betsy Chassé, and in a little bit with musical guest Whitney Meyer. I don't even know what I'm saying anymore. She's got me all. We'll be right back, that's for sure, on the Life Changes Show right after this.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Mariel Hemingway, Shadow Stevens, Gary Zukav, and Kyle Cease, on our website at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and at Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. We have been talking or listening, basically.
I'm so sorry. No, you're not. I got into a rant. I'm done now. Kind of.
I've been enjoying, I should say.
Right.
Filmmaker, author, mummy. Ranter. We haven't given your website. So anybody who wants to get on and learn more about her, the books are there, the films are there, events are there, YouTube, press room. I mean, it's all there. Her blog. Go to BETSYCHASSE.net. N-E-T.
That's
Betsy. Now I'm saying chassé. Tell me how Americans say it.
Chassé.
Okay.
Fancy chassé. That's me.
That was a little Cleveland in there.
And was it? I don't know.
So when did you leave Riverside, actually?
So I left Riverside 1978.
Oh, wow. Okay. Because I arrived in 88. So
yeah. So like it was a way different
world. Different world. Yeah.
Full on like the farms and the horses and yeah.
Wow. Interesting. Okay. So let's see. We've talked about tipping sacred cows. Evidently it's a really fun thing to do and a really good book.
It's funny too. Like I promise it's fun and funny. I like to laugh, as you can tell.
Yes, indeed. We it's funny because I've been invited to things that you've been, and it's like, oh, I would have loved to have seen Betsy there, but I haven't gone, and we keep missing each other. And like when we did that one film screening, I was talking to a bunch of people, and you like made your way through the crowd, and you're like, hi, I'm Betsy, the very first time we met. And I'm like, oh, hi, nice to meet you. And you walked away. I'm like, that was Betsy Chase. That's how I said it at the time.
That
was Betsy Chess. Whatever.
Whatever.
I mean, not whatever. I mean,
that girl that's hot.
So anyway, and then you did that other film with the attorney. What was that? You helped promote that. And I saw you.
Oh, People versus the State of Illusion.
Yes.
I helped him promote that. That was a great movie, too.
Yeah. You're involved in a lot of good stuff.
It's my mission. Like, clearly I have a really big mouth. Right? And so I'm like, my career went like this. Like, right at the time I was 22 years old, I started my first production company. And I started work for Playboy. And I produced television.
Wait, really?
Yeah, like I totally produced porn and Playboy in my life. Absolutely have. I was one of the first female production companies to be hired by Playboy. And I was doing $2 million worth of production work, and I really loved it. And then I got into line producing. And I learned a lot about my craft in terms of actual physical production. You know, how do you make movies, you know? And then I became senior vice president of a production company and, got headhunted by a major studio, which was my dream to run a studio at that time when I was about 27. And I was headhunted. I went to the big meeting on the 27th floor, and I walk in there and I have the meeting and I hear about this job that I'm going to have as director of production, and I'm going to make gobs of money. And the director of production job literally would have led me to my dream, which I thought was my dream. And as I sat in that meeting, I started to get really sick, like literally almost vomited. And as I came down the elevator, I literally almost vomited. And at that point in my time, I didn't know any of this stuff. To me, consciousness was shoe consciousness, and my little BMW. But I knew something wasn't right. And what I realized was that I love telling great stories. And I love sharing with people in a way that uplifts and inspires them and lets them know that everything is going to be okay. Mm. So I left making movies. I started a gourmet dog treat out of my business, out of my kitchen. Got into 400 stores. That kind of went belly up with a boyfriend. And then I made What the Bleep. And I realized I'm going to do whatever I can to put out movies in the world that open people's minds and inspire them. So that's what I do. And it's really cool. I teach now documentary filmmaking at, I can't say where, they don't allow me to say where, but a good university. And it's part of what I love because I'm meeting, kids that are 19, 20 years old who are fresh, wide-eyed and bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. And I feel like part of my mission is to say to them, you are, storytelling is the oldest tradition. And as filmmakers, we are carrying on that tradition. And I get students who want to, make the horrible, violent film or the murder movie or the horror movie. And my greatest challenge and what I love to do is convince them to make something beautiful for them. I said, what do you want your legacy to be? What do you want people to feel when they watch your films? And so that's what I want to do with my life. So yeah, that's what I do with my big mouth. So I help people like Austin with his movie, or any people come to me all the time with their movies, and as best I can, I'm out there, because we got to just flood the airways, man. We do.
We're flooding them now. That's that's for sure.
Yep.
Did I do that right? Okay. So in the next few minutes that we have, we haven't talked about the coaching movie actually. Yeah. So real quickly, I want to know a little bit about the coaching movie and actually Wake Up. I became a fan. I actually met one or two of your fellow.
Zena and Cindy and Natalie, who are just amazing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're fun.
So let's talk about Wake Up a little bit.
So Wake Up is funny. Like, it came out of the blue for me. I don't even know. I mean, I was surprised that they asked me to be a host.
Really?
Well, I mean, clearly I can yammer on, but you know, I don't really do a lot of public. Like, I'm not trying to be out there selling a program or a workshop. I do some, but I'm a filmmaker. That's my thing. That's what I do. I tell stories, I write books, and I'm filmmaking. But what I love about the show is that it's really about one of my, again, my big missions is that I'm sort of over speaking to the choir. I hear a lot of, gee, I wish they'd all wake up. Mm. Well, I'm like, well, who are they? Are you talking about? And how do you know that you're wake up? And you know what? They think you'd wake up. They'd like you to wake up too, by the way.
Wow.
So we get into the situation where we have the us and the them. But how is the them going to wake up when most of the time we're talking in this weird woo-woo, we're like, whales talk to us. Let me shove a crystal up my ass. And like these people, most regular America, like, doesn't know what to do with that. They don't, you know, they don't know Buddhism and, you know, Hindu things. It's just not relatable. So what I love about Wake Up and the coaching movie, we can do both in the same, is because they're both the same thing. What's great about coaching and what's great about Wake Up is that they take these ideas and concepts that are really ancient, but they break them down in a really accessible way. They take away the woo-woo and the ideology, and they just really break it down to what we started with, the bleep. Your thoughts affect your reality. What you think appears in front of you. And so when we can get rid of all the mumbo jumbo and make it really simple, I think it really does impact people. And that's what Wake Up is about. And that's what the coaching movie is about.
And we talked a little bit about Gotta Go In to Get Out, but very little. Just have a couple more minutes. What do you think?
Well, Gotta Go In to Get Out is really an exploration into the question of what is freedom. It features we won't ever be able to see him on screen because he's on death row. His name is Jarvis J. Masters. He's written two of the most profound books I think I've ever read in my life. He's literally, for real, on death row. Mm. And if you read his work, you see that this is a man who has more freedom than probably you or I do. If you look at what's going on in our society
in his mind,
he's let go. Uh-huh. Look, we live in a society in the United States, 25% of the U.S. population is either in prison or under correctional control. Half of the United States population is $500,000 or in debt, and half of those people will never be able to pay it off in their lifetime. We are like running in a circle. Mm. When you can get to a place where you can let go of the program, and you can start to really connect with what is meaningful to me, then none of that really matters. And in a way, Jarvis was sort of forced to do that because he didn't have anything. So he had death row where he lives in a box. But within his box, this four walls, he found more creativity, more joy, more unconditional love, all those magical words that we keep talking about, he found in a literal prison cell. And most of the world can't find that at all. And we have everything we could possibly dream of and more. So that's what we're exploring in that film.
I love listening to you.
Amazing.
Really? Thank you. I've just been yammering.
I enjoy you so much. From the moment you walked in the studio.
Oh, thank you.
Actually, from the moment I got to know you. So I'm happy
Thank you. I enjoy you.
You are a pleasure.
And you're so fun. And you're like singing all over the place. And
I know it's funny because you're saying, you know, you got ADD, and I never thought about myself as having ADD, but I've done this and I do this and blah, blah, blah.
But isn't that beautiful and freeing that you get the chance to just live out your dream and creativity because you said you would?
No,
you
absolutely
yes.
Right. Well, and the funny thing is that I'm thinking it's like, okay, wait. So even if we were doing all the same things, she's also a mom of two children. So Filippo, yeah. There's no way you could, you know.
But I don't take that on as a burden. You know, the other thing was, we should never take anything on as a burden. Like I was always really inspired by your creativity because you get out there and do what you love. Mm. And I'm like, look at that guy. Like, you know, he's living not by the rules, because the rules would say, you can't do that. That's crazy. Why would you do that? And we need to live more where the executive CEO goes, I want to do this. Or the mom goes, I want to do this. And that we have the freedom to have that experience. One last rant, really quick. We are on this plane. We are in this reality to have a living human experience. Go have it.
Well, life changes.
Indeed. So if you didn't get what the bleep Betsy was talking about, you can go to BETSYCHASSE.net, M-E-T, and learn more about her. And just see her sassy self. As soon as that website opens up, it's like, there she is, sassy girl. And you also write for this blog and that. Huffington Post. I mean, it's just you go on. Well,
because I clearly can't stop talking, so I have to put it everywhere.
I have to put it somewhere.
Right.
Well, you could put it here anytime you want. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
This has been a great pleasure. Stay with us because you're going to love Whitney Meyer when she walks in with her band and share some of her stories and her music with us right after this when we get back on the Life Changers Show.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening, someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, LifeChangesNetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@LifeChangesNetwork.com.
We are back. Oh, we're just having way too much fun already with Whitney in the studio. Whitney Meyer's here with her band, or at least partially with part of her band. And I love this. Whitney calls herself or refers to herself as a soul singer. Betsy, you're going to love this. A soul singer gone rogue.
Nice. Go rogue, girlfriend.
Teasing the lines of R&B and rock and roll. Her electrifying live performances mesmerize audiences as they were on The Voice in 2012 when she got one by one, every single one of those chairs to turn around. And we'll talk more about that in just a second. Whitney, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
It's great to have you here. It really is. Look at you. You're bubbly and you're... You're just...
Well, thanks.
Actually, before we went live, we were talking about The Voice, because we just have to ask.
Yeah.
And you were saying it was a... What was the word you described?
I don't remember what I said.
Betsy's been saying it.
I'll say it for you, honey.
Oh, yeah, that's the word I said. Oh, yeah, I did say that. I mean, overall, it was great. I was challenged a lot on a personal level because up to that point, I was never very competitive about music.
Mm.
And, you know, it was more like a thing that you share with people and you're like creating something together. I thought about it much more like as a community participation thing.
Right.
And on that show, it's not like that at all. It's like, in fact, they're like, can Whitney Meyer beat out like Sally Hansen? Yes or no? Tune in. And they've got literally a boxing ring is the stage. For one of the episodes.
So
it's cool, but it's not what I was expecting, but it challenged me in a lot of ways and kind of made me really like dig deep within myself and get the confidence to stand up there and not make a fool of myself on national television.
Wow. So. Oh, and you sure didn't. On the contrary. You were living in Reno at the time?
Yeah, I lived in Reno. I was in a band with my dad and uncle. I grew up playing music. Both my parents are musicians. My uncle plays the drums. And so it was a big part of what I've done, like, my whole life.
Yeah, I also read que tú hablas español porque lo he estudiado.
Sí, hablo español. Estudié en España por cuatro meses y mi abuela también era colombiana.
Oh, well, that explains it. Hey, we all understood that? Well, she said her major was Spanish.
Yeah, I majored in Spanish and I studied in Spain for a semester and my grandmother was Colombian.
So. I'm going to Spain in, like, 3 weeks.
Oh, you are?
Mm-hmm.
Where?
I'm going to... Malaga?
Mm-hmm.
Malaga, yeah. And then to Barcelona.
Cool. Awesome.
Yeah. And your grandmother, you said, is Colombian?
Colombian.
Okay.
She was Colombian.
So, you know, thank you for saying what you said about how you thought of music and it was something that you share. I hope you're still, that you're back to thinking of music.
Oh, definitely. Okay. Definitely. I mean, I was never like, I'm going to beat that person. But I was like, because up against that, like, intense competitive nature, I was just like, I don't want to sing. Like, I wasn't like, I'm going to beat him. I was like, no, I'd rather not. She can win. Like, I just wasn't into it.
Aww.
But yeah, so I'm not there anymore. And now, since I've moved here, I met these awesome guys, and they're my good friends as well as my band.
David and Jonah. Playing the drums, the pad. Yeah, it's electronic drums.
Yes.
And Jonah's on two keyboards because one's not enough.
It's just not. Yeah, and meeting these guys has been really awesome. And we're gonna play some songs we wrote, and I'm kind of back to a good place with music. And LA is a good place to do that. There's so much music everywhere, but it's also a good place to get confused by what you're supposed to do. Even in a career that is supposed to be one that's not off the grid, in LA, that's where all of a sudden it becomes a corporation and like a what you're supposed to do type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's so annoying. Like all the, you know, cookie cutter songs, mm-hmm. like, you know, all the same sounds, like just, ugh.
Yeah.
Be you, girlfriend.
Well, she's being her, and more power to you. Whitney, what are we going to hear first?
So first, we're going to play a song called Disappear. And this song is about, like, past lives. And I kind of wrote it about the idea that, that there's been so many different civilizations that have risen and fallen, like, in the span of humanity. And the whole time, like, the moon and the sun are just here, like, rising and falling, watching these different civilizations come and go and live and die and love and all those things. So it's kind of about that.
And it's called Disappear. You know, I've heard you sing so many other people's songs. I can't wait to finally get to hear you sing yours. Here's Whitney Meyer with her own song, Disappear. Thank you.
Awesome.
Right?
I don't think I've ever had anybody go, hmm.
No, it was.
It was a good hmm.
I will say, I appreciate it, but I was like, oh, that's a new one.
I'm glad but it's a great hmm.
Oh, is good. That,
hmm. No.
Well, you know what that means? You were actually hearing the lyrics. Because
yeah.
A lot of times people don't get to hear what's actually going on. They just get the vibe. So I appreciate that
you
reaction.
Totally got that. Because I was thinking there's so much depth to you, young lady.
Oh, thank you.
So much
thank
depth. You, so much. You know, actually, I knew you were from Reno. And I wrote some friends in Reno saying, hey, you know, you'd be happy to know that a girl from Reno is going to be.
Oh, I just saw that today.
I just did. But from Tony?
Yeah.
I just saw that just
yeah,
now.
Yeah, does, it's a small community.
Can I tell them what they said?
Sure.
Not the part about me, but the part about you.
Sure.
So Tony Savage, I have not worked with Wit, mm-hmm. So he knows you.
Yeah, yeah.
But I used to babysit her. her mom, is it Candace?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Dad, Scott P. Meyer, and twin uncle Fred Meyer are very dear friends of mine and great musicians, songwriters in their own right. Great to hear from you, Filippo. Say hi to Whitney for me.
Cool.
Okay, what? P.S. She should hear you sing. My She'd be blown away. So, you know, maybe one of these days you and I, now that I know you're in L.A. And,
yes,
and we have
please.
Tony's blessing. Tony and I have worked together.
Can I ask her a question?
Haven't you been?
I want to ask her a question.
I know another one, you mean.
Yeah, I do. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Just because I think it's so beautiful that you've really connected with your soul and your spirit. And how did you find your way to that space where you could write a song like that?
Well, first of all, I got my heart broken. Let's just start with that. Most artists' problems. I got my heart broken pretty bad. I mean, not like it's anybody's fault. I was very heartbroken, and I was just laid so bare because of that heart. Like, to the point where I didn't care about anything else, like about any sort of holding up any sort of appearances for myself or for other people for an extended period of time. Like, that happens sometimes. You get down and you don't care for, like, a day or two. I didn't care for, like, solid to 9 months, I was just like blank receiving space, I guess. And I got really into yoga and like sticking crystals up my butt, like you said.
Nice. There's nothing wrong with that. I think it's awesome every once in a while.
Well, it's funny that you said that, because we were talking about that that other side of it too, because I do believe that that kind of stuff can have an effect on you, not sticking it up your butt,
right,
but the use of crystals and things like that.
Right.
But it is difficult to like truly feel like that's an actual application in the physical world that we live in. And I really identify with what you were saying earlier. But so I kind of got into that, and I had a past life reading with the person who I had my heart broken with, and we were not together, and I just feel like there was so much more there with our connection, and it was so much deeper than just like, oh, you don't want me anymore, and like, I'm upset. It was like, I literally felt like I had been a different person, in so many different ways with that other person in other lifetimes. Wow. And I'd never really felt so sure about that before. And so that song is about that. And like, I kind of wanted to allude to having to work out different things with the same people in different lifetimes and bodies, but also how small we are in the grand scheme of things. Even if we do get to have all these multiple lives, like they come and rise and fall, like the Romans and the Egyptians, like all these great civilizations, and all the while, like the earth and the moon are still there watching everything happen.
I could see her being Egyptian. Can't you see her being Egyptian?
No, I know. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to ask them to take over here, but that's fascinating to me. Yeah. How beautifully,
I appreciate you asking. Nobody
ever
really
be that sort of
exactly
beautiful.
Exactly. And
thank
actually,
you so much.
People
don't ask this, so this is really cool, because now I can be like, hey, you know that song you like? This is what it's about. Check out the interview.
And here it is.
Right.
And I'm so glad that you two connected, seriously.
Yeah, I want to use that. I'm going to talk to her, because I'm going to do the crowdfunding campaign for the Gotta Go In to Go Out documentary, which is about the guy on death row. And when I was listening to the lyrics, part of what I talked to him, I had this really crazy experience of literally speaking to him on the phone the other day, like he's on death row. And he basically talked about that, which is why it was so weird that you just showed up and sang a song about the idea of like, you know, we live and then we die, and what's our legacy and what are we doing here? And I want to leave something. My life has meant nothing until this moment. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to leave something for the next life, the next group of people that's going to show up here.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a question. Betsy, is okay if I ask you a question?
don't be sorry.
I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry.
No, really, I'm sorry.
And your EP is called, or your first EP at least, The Articles of, get this, Luminous Nature.
Oh.
Now, Betsy would like to know, tell us about that.
Okay. So that one released a couple years ago, and I have luckily some new songs that I'm working on with these guys, which is what I'm playing for you today. So Articles of Luminous Nature, the title was about, it was... the whole album was kind of written around that same time period. This was that
the
song was a little after. Uh-huh, that was during, and so during that time when I was so heartbroken and therefore so completely like not defenseless or weak, but I didn't want to have any walls up with anybody ever. I was just completely myself. Even if I was upset, I wasn't like asking for attention. I was just like, hey, like I just, you know, I'm like having a really hard time right now, and I would say it with like this weird little half like, I don't know, placid smile on my face. And
unapologetically.
That's the way you should be able to be truth.
But I'm not that way anymore, because I'm not heartbroken, so I've got my walls back.
But you should still have your heart open.
Yes,
beautiful.
I totally agree. And that was the sentiment of my album is like Articles of Luminous Nature. Everyone has something beautiful to share with other people on the inside, no matter what it is, no matter what it looks like. And at the time I did like a big release in my hometown, and it was awesome. But what I was really trying to say was like, hey, like, and I was also giving a lot of girls vocal lessons. I was saying, hey, like what I'm doing, you can do in your own way and different and better.
Nice.
Like, and it doesn't have to be music. It can be anything,
but
we all have something to offer.
Nice.
My daughter got really mad the other day. We were listening to the radio, and she said, "I'm so mad at these girl singers because they're all just giving away their power, like she was talking about Nicki Minaj or some girl who was talking about being the wife and what I don't even remember what song it is, and so." She says she likes like Meghan Trainor and like a couple people like that, because she's like, when I bring her into people, but she really, they're searching. Little girls, these little kids that are like 10 and 11 years old, especially these girls are in their power.
Yeah.
They are. I've met a lot of them, and
nice.
They're looking for voices like yours, because that's nice. What the song is, and that's what you're going to connect to. Yeah. It's
very
beautiful.
Nice.
Thank
that's,
you.
That's good to
so
know,
thank
right?
you for that, because we need our little
you.
Girls need that. Our little girls need it.
Yeah.
And so people can get that album
yes.
At WhitneyMeyer.com. Meyer
yes.
M-Y-E-R.com.
Yes, thank you for clarifying that spelling.
And yes. And these next songs will
yeah.
be available when?
Well, the song that we just played, the song we're about to play is going to be available in a couple months.
In a couple months? Okay,
yeah.
you're really working hard on this, I know. And so it'll be available
yeah.
at WhitneyMeyer.com. Actually,
mm-hmm.
I'll clarify the spelling of Whitney. WhitneyMeyer.com.
Exactly.
And, you know, thank you. We're honored
thank
that you chose us to share these songs for the first time live.
Yeah.
And this is a great pleasure. What are we going to hear next?
This one is called Lights, and Jonah and I wrote this one together. And this song is about the possibility of astral travel, which I have never experienced myself,
jeez.
But I just love that. I love the idea of it. I really would like
what
to get
the bleep?
There.
I can tell you where to go to do that.
Please, yes. Let's exchange that information because that would be great. But I love the idea of like happening to meet somebody during astral travel that you've never met before, and then you keep going into astral travel to meet them again, like a love affair that begins
wow.
on a different plane.
That would make a great movie.
I think they made that movie that was the
really?
Movie that nobody liked where... Oh, that was more about...
they did it wrong. You didn't do it and
right.
didn't have her music.
Now, come
anyway,
on, sing it.
So
I want to hear this.
So it's called Lights?
It's called Lights.
Okay.
Yeah, and I did put a little bit of a spin on it. Yeah, metaphorically with lights.
Okay, ooh. Here we go. Whitney Meyer and Lights here on The Life Changes Show.
I'm waking, I'm dreaming, it's all the same. I'm in between running and finding air, thinking every symbol in the sky's a sign. Travel to places within my mind. I've seen you, you're lonely, and so am I. Thinking every movement in your eyes is a sign. I'll be home to turn the lights on. I only took a pill or two. If you could love me with the lights out, we could circle the sun and moon. Leave the light on without me, lights off. Leave the light on without me, lights off. Leave the light on without me, love me, lights. I'm open like broken crystal inside. We find higher levels to see the light. If you break my heart, at least we felt alive. I've been pushing deeper with open eyes. I orbit the oceans with satellites. If I hold you now, I know you'll feel alive, alive. I'll be home to turn the lights on. Took a pill or two. If you could love me with the lights out, we could circle the sun and moon. Leave the light on without me, lights off. Leave the light on without me, lights off. Leave the light on without me, love me, lights. Leave the light on without me, love me, lights off. We could make or break the world together. Stay ready forever. I leave the light on, but I think that you could love me better. Wait for the night. I could love you better in the dark. Keep the lights. I'm gonna love you better in the dark.
man. Wow.
Oh, thanks.
Aren't you fantastic?
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having us.
Wow.
Wow.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much, and thank you to David and Jonah. Whitney Meyer at WhitneyMeyer.com.
Yes.
You'll want to go and get her music there. She's got news and updates and upcoming concerts. Is there an upcoming concert near here that we can come to now, soon? Please?
Yeah, at my house. Like, let's just have a party, right?
Let's totally.
Okay, we would be into that.
Wow.
Right. Now, we just played a gig last week, but I don't have anything booked right now, but I'm sure we'll play a couple more before the summer. So if you want to get on my email list through my website, I'll make sure to update you guys.
Oh, good. You have an email list.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, there's an email list. Right, I think it's on the first page. Just add it there, and I'll make sure to keep you guys updated. Or I'm also on Instagram, Facebook.
And how do they find you? Just Whitney Meyer?
Yeah, just Whitney Meyer on all those things. Same spelling, Whitney Meyer, M-Y-E-R. Yeah.
You know, I remember somebody saying to me something that I didn't understand at the time. As in fact, I hated it. But they said, I hope you don't become famous until you know what you're here to say.
Yeah.
And I think, as I was listening to you, I was thinking, it's weird, and I don't know if you understand. Would you understand it if I said to you right now, I'm glad you didn't win The Voice?
Because
I do understand the way you're saying that. Thank you. I appreciate that.
And because, and may you now, you know, have even greater success with the sentiments that you are expressing. Thank you so much for changing our life today.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me, and thanks for enlightening me as I walked in. That was pretty nice.
Oh, my pleasure. Well, thank you. You're totally coming to my house and teaching my daughter to sing.
Yeah, let's do it.
Sounds
like a blast.
That's what, she is a hoot, but like we just can have so much fun together.
Cool.
I want to do a music video
for
you.
You're totally coming to my house.
Let's make a music video.
I need a video for that song. Let's do that.
I'm totally rocking in that. I have a great editor. We'll like have some fun. We're totally doing it.
Oh, that's so exciting.
We're going to premiere it on your show.
Yes.
Okay?
Right.
We're totally going to do a video and we'll premiere it on your show.
Done. This is exciting.
See, this is what music and art should be about.
That's what community and collaboration is, right? That's what it's supposed to look like. Girlfriend, I like you. Let's do something.
You all created this.
That's what happens when you have a uterus.
See? That's what happens when you have a uterus.
We just go, oh, the boys are with them. We're like, yeah, we're doing that.
It's already done. Awesome. Well, thank you. I have to thank Brent Hahn here at Studio NoHo for making the space to letting all of this come in here with us and taking time ahead of time to make this sound as good as it did. And thank you all, Whitney Meyer, and of course Jonah and David for being here. Betsy, you got to come back. Of course, you're going to premiere the video.
Oh, you totally will.
So you got to come back anyway. And so thank you for being with
us. Thank you for letting me come on your show and rant.
Anytime.
I don't know what it was. I totally got like a wild hair or something. I was like, damn, I got to scream today.
It's us.
It is.
Every guest rants. I don't know what it is. No. And nobody cusses, but they should.
Evidently. They should.
All right. So with that, I'd like to thank Doug Newsom at BBS Radio Network and Dorothy Donahue, our executive producer. On behalf
thank you, Dorothy.
Of Mark, yes.
Another, she was awesome.
Another woman with a
dude,
uterus.
Nothing would get done if that wasn't for us women with uteruses.
Another woman with a uterus.
She knows how to use it. Too,
right, damn straight.
She birthed this. Okay. Yeah. The show has ended. On behalf of our co-host, Mark LeSueur, and I don't have a new uterus. I am so sorry.
You can't multitask right now.
On behalf of myself, I am Filippo reminding you all, as your life changes, as ours obviously just did, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at the Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.